We invite you to turn in your Bibles to Luke chapter 12. We'll be reading verses 15 to 34. Cheer up, my brother and sister. Live in the sunshine. That's not the case outside today, but for the believer, we can live spiritually in the sunshine 24/7. Every day of the year. Isn't that a blessing? Our trust in God should not be based on our circumstances or even our emotions. When God feels distant, when He feels silent, our trust needs to be based on God's character, His unfailing love, and His care. And so when we focus on that, we truly can live in the sunshine. Luke 12, 15. And He said unto them, take heed and beware of covetousness, for a man's life consisteth not in the abundance of the things which he possesseth. And He spake a parable unto them, saying, the ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentifully. And he thought within himself, saying, what shall I do, because I have no room where to bestow my fruits? And he said, this will I do. I will pull down my barns and build greater, and there will I bestow all my fruits and my goods. And I will say to my soul, soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. But God said unto him, thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then whose shall these or those things be which thou hast provided? So is he that layeth up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God. And he said unto his disciples, therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what ye shall eat, neither for the body what ye shall put on. Life is more than meat, and the body is more than raiment. Consider the ravens, for they neither sow nor reap, which neither have storehouse nor barn, and God feedeth them. How much more are ye better than fowls? And which of you, with taking thought, can add to his stature one cubit? If ye then be not able to do that thing which is least, why take ye thought for the rest? Consider the lilies, how they grow, they toil not, they spin not, and yet I say unto you that Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. If then God so clothed the grass, which is today in the field, and tomorrow is cast into the oven, how much more will he clothe you, O ye of little faith? And seek not ye what ye shall eat, or what ye shall drink, neither be ye of doubtful mind. For all these things do the nations of the world seek after, and your Father knoweth that ye have need of these. But rather, seek ye the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added unto you. Fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Sell that ye have, and give alms, provide yourselves bags which wax not old, a treasure in the heavens that faileth not, where no thief approacheth, neither moth corrupteth. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. For those who are able, we invite you to kneel for prayer.
Good morning. Before we start into the lesson for today, I'm going to drag last Sunday night to into this morning. I didn't get up and share any praise. Last Sunday morning, and this hymn number 402 has been very special speaking to me in the past, recent past here. And Sunday morning, in this closing song, we sang 402 in that third verse. If you want to open a hymn book, you're welcome to do that. I'm going to line that. Really moves me, and I'm thankful for this. My sin, oh, the bliss of this glorious thought, the thought of my sin. My sin, not in part, but the whole, is nailed to his cross, and I bear it no more. I've been forgiven of so much. We, as believers that have accepted Christ, have been forgiven of so much. And I praise the Lord, O my soul. It is well with my soul. I know I have regrets, but hallelujah, the blood of Christ has washed it away, and I bear it no more. Jesus Christ bears that. He paid it all. We sang that this morning. He paid it all. So I praise the Lord this morning for that. And it's because of his merits, it's because of his blood that I can stand here this morning and try to share a message with you that has been a challenge to me. I'm going to title it Laying Up Treasures, or if you want to give it another title, Enduring Wealth. There was a prospector, an old prospector, vainly sought gold for many years. And a friend of him came to him and tried to encourage him to give up his looking for gold. Because he said, you're not going to be able to take it with you when you go anyways. And the old prospector thought for a moment and he said, well, if I can't take it with me, then I'm not going to go. He's not going to go. He's going to stay here. So I want to challenge us this morning, where are we laying up treasures? Are we laying up treasures here on earth, or are we laying up treasures in heaven? On February the 28th, I read a devotional, and that's where the Enduring Wealth title comes from. But it was, the scripture for that morning was Luke chapter 12, verses 15 to 34, and it just stirred a lot of thoughts within me of laying up treasures. Two questions to think about as we get through this morning. And these are questions we would maybe, or we would consider or think about when we're thinking about finance, what we're going to do financially, how we're trying to maybe provide for those around us. Maybe you're thinking about retirement. These are two questions. What am I going to invest in? And what are the returns going to be? What are you going to invest in? And what are the returns you are going to be? And I don't have all the answers. I don't know. This has been a study for me, or a challenge for me, as I looked up scriptures and realized that we can end up on both sides of the road in the ditch. We can be focusing on treasures on earth and working, being workaholics, and work. It's all about money. How big's my bank account? All that. Or we can end up on the other side of the road in the ditch and not trying to provide for our families. And there's verses that we're going to look at that pertain to both of those places. So we got to try to find a balance in the middle. And I realize that balance might be different for each one of us. So I would like to look at the Word of God to try to point us in the right way. And we each need to ask God, seek God's guidance for how I or we are going to handle, and I got this capitalized, his money, his finances, the things he gives us. Remember, they're not ours. We are only stewards of those things. So Luke 12, verse 15, he gives us a warning. take heed and beware of covetousness. We all know what covetousness is. When we see something someone else has and we have a desire to have it as well. And in the society that we live in, pretty much anything you see that you might want, if you determine you are going to have it, you can get it. If you work hard enough, maybe if you have enough credit, or you can go to the bank and get the money. And we know what happens when we do that. Then we become a slave to those payments. And again, the money becomes very important. The rest of that verse goes on to say, "For man's life consisteth not in the abundance of the things which he possesseth." Again, in our society, people look at other people at what they have and think, boy, they really are somebody. They have a lot of money. They are wealthy. They really got it together. But I believe there's a lot of those people that appear that way that are financially strapped, stressed, cannot lay up treasures where they should be. They're working as a slave to whatever that thing is that they possess. That's just a warning that Jesus gives here. Take heed and beware of covetousness. So looking on down at verses 16 to 21, I'm going to just read them again. And as Brother Ken was reading them, there was a couple things that jumped out at me that I should have seen in my study that it did not. But we'll get to them. "And he spake a parable unto them, saying, The ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentifully. And he thought within himself, saying, What shall I do?" These are the things I didn't see that I should have seen. "What shall I do? Because I have no room where to bestow my fruits. And he said, This will I do. I will pull down my barns and build greater, and there will I bestow all my fruits and my goods. And I will say to my soul, Soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. But God said unto him, Thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then whose shall those things be which thou hast provided? So is he that layeth up treasures for himself and is not rich toward God." There's a number of things I see here in these verses that this man done well. Apparently, he was a hard worker. He had planted. First he prepared the soil. He planted and he grew a crop that was going to give a bountiful harvest. But that needed to be blessed by God. That crop, he did not grow on his own. He may be planted, he may be watered, but he did not grow. He did not provide all the rain and sunshine for that crop to provide a bountiful harvest. So he did work hard, but he forgot where the blessing came from. What about you and I when we work hard? And I promote hard work. It's good for us to work hard. But the fruit of our labors is not all of our doing. It is blessing from God. Acts 20, verse 35. "I have showed you all things, how that so laboring you ought to support the weak, and to remember the words of the Lord Jesus, how he said, It is more blessed to give than to receive." As we sang that one song this morning, I think it was 113, said about God, Jesus paid it all. God gave his only son. I'm paraphrasing. Do you believe it was more blessed for God to give his son than it was for him to receive us as his children? I don't know. That's a thought that came to me because Jesus said it is more blessed to give than to receive. I believe God was blessed in a way we can't comprehend when Jesus was given. Something for you to think about. But if we don't work hard, if we don't provide, we can't give. We will only receive. We will only be receivers if we don't work and make money and whatever that we can give. Give food, give clothing, give whatever it might be to others. So if we're not very careful, we can find ourselves working so hard for the things we want, for the things we think we need, maybe to build bigger barns as this man did. And yet we find ourselves sacrificing the things that really matter. Giving up the things that really matter. Giving up the things that will last for eternity. Second thing I see that I think he done well was I believe he managed wisely. We are told to manage wisely. It makes me think of in Luke 19, 11 through 27. We're not going to turn there. The parable of the 10 servants and the talents. And the servants that managed the talents that they were given wisely were rewarded. The one that did not was punished. So I believe we are to manage wisely. And I believe this man did this. He was managing what he had in a good way. And it provided a bountiful crop. A question that I have, how am I managing the things that God has given to me? Is it for self? Is it for the temporal or eternal things? What am I doing with what God has given me? And we live in a land that is extremely blessed. I don't know why God has chosen to bless this land the way he has. And we didn't have the choice to be born in this land. But here we are. So we are given the responsibility to manage what he has given to us. Thirdly, he was planning ahead. This farmer had looked at his crop and he said, I got a problem. I don't have enough place to put everything that I'm going to harvest. What should I do? And he decided he was going to build a bigger barn, bigger barns. But I believe he was planning ahead. He was looking, but he wasn't looking far enough. He was planning for the immediate future, but not for the eternal future. And again, that makes me think of the 10 virgins. Five of them were prepared. Five of them had planned ahead. Five of them had not. And when the groom came, the five that had planned ahead were ready to go with him into the banquet. Am I planning ahead? Are you? Are you looking long term? Not at retirement. That's not long term. As I get a little bit older, I realize that retirement, if you want to use that word, I don't know that we should retire and just sit around. I don't think we should. But if you want to look at retirement, the older you get, the closer it gets, and you realize that it really isn't that far away. It really isn't long-term planning to plan for retirement. But we can plan for eternity. And we can invest in that. In this first section here, in verses 18 and 19, I see some things that are not good. I see a problem with this man's plan. A couple things, and this isn't all of them. One of them is pride. I see pride. He mentions I how many times? I didn't count them, but he mentions himself or what he has done quite a number of times. And pride is at the root of all sin. Proverbs 16:18 says, pride goeth before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall. this man was setting himself up. And if I remember correctly, Brother Randy Mummer told me a story years and years ago, and you can check this with Randy. I've not asked him about this, but he knew of someone in Virginia that had a barn that was blown down by a storm. And this man said, I will build a barn that not even God can blow down. And he built a barn out of steel and I'm not sure about the concrete, but a steel structure. He didn't have that barn built very long, and guess what? A storm came along and made a twisted, mangled mess of that building. We cannot think that we are better or have pride in our life and think we are able to provide for ourselves. And that's the next thing I see. He's seen himself as being self-sufficient. Self-sufficiency in our society is very prevalent. What about in me? Providing for myself. Not to depend on God for the needs. As I mentioned, he said, I have planted and I am going to harvest and I'm going to pull down my barns and I'm going to build bigger and I will have plenty in store and I'm going to eat, drink, and be merry. He thought he had it all figured out. He thought he was self-sufficient. First of all, he forgot that God gave him the increase in what he had invested into the crop. Colossians 1 verse 17, and he is before all things, and by him all things consist. We are not at all self-sufficient. The next breath of air that you and I breathe is only because of God's goodness. Do not be self-sufficient or think that you are self-sufficient. Thirdly, I already sort of mentioned this, but lack of planning for eternity. Verses 20 and 21, he is asked, his soul is required of him. And what happens? He had not prepared. He had not prepared for the day that his soul was going to be asked for. He had planned for his retirement. Let's not lack to plan for eternity. And there's a lot more in those verses that we could look at. But as we think of the topic of laying up treasures, this man laid up treasures, but he did not have them very long. One of the lessons in this parable is the danger of thinking we are able to do without God. That's what this man thought. He didn't give one thought of God. He didn't give one thought of giving back to God of his first fruits. He didn't think, well, my barns are big enough, I'll give the excess to someone that is in need. He was thinking about self. Proverbs 23 verses 1 to 6. When thou sittest to eat with a ruler, consider diligently what is before thee, and put a knife to thy throat, if thou be a man given to appetite. Be not desirous of his dainties, for they are deceitful meat. Labor not to be rich, cease from thine own wisdom. Verse 5 here is the one I really want to have you notice. Wilt thou set thine eyes upon that which is not? For riches certainly make themselves wings. They fly away as an eagle toward heaven. We may have plans that we think we have riches or wealth or have a little excess. How many of you have experienced how quickly God can bring a bill that takes that away? It happens. We can think that we have a little excess and, I'm going to do this or I'm going to do that. And before we know it, it is gone. Proverbs 11, verse 28. Proverbs 11, 28. He that trusteth in his riches shall fall, but the righteous shall flourish as a branch. We that trust in the riches, we that trust in what we can do, we need to be careful because it will cause us to fall. As we move on into the next part of this chapter, be not anxious. This is a little bit on the other side of building bigger and seeking more and thinking I'm self-sufficient. These verses, Jesus tells us not to worry about tomorrow. Take care of today. Look at the creation around us. And are we not the highest of his creation? God provides for his creation. You know, as you can go outside and you see the plants growing, buds, flowers, blooms on the trees, the green grass. That is addressed a lot in this portion of Scripture. And it doesn't do anything to provide for itself, does it? It don't do nothing. But what it does do, it does what God created it to do. It grows, it bears fruit. It maybe is a flower that just creates beauty. It does what God created it to do. What about you and I? Am I doing what God has created me to do? Let's read Luke 12, 22 to 34. And he said unto his disciples, therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what ye shall eat, neither for the body, what ye shall put on. Remember, in the beginning, God, Jesus said that the life is more than raiment. The life is more than meat. A person's life does not consist of these things. The life is more than meat, and the body is more than raiment, he says again. Consider the ravens, for they neither sow nor reap, which neither have storehouses nor barn, and God feedeth them. How much more are ye better than the fowl? You know, I think a lot of us have bird feeders that we have out over the winter to feed the birds. God is providing for them. He will provide for us. And I realize that that may not be always in a physical sense. I realize there are people that are starving or whatever in this world today that may be children of God. So he may not provide for us physically always, but he does provide. He has already provided for us spiritually. And I believe that's what this is talking about. He will provide for us spiritually. He already has. All we got to do is avail ourselves to it. Verse 25, and which of you with taking thought can add to his stature one cubit? Which one of you can be a little bit taller by taking thought? None of us. And if we can't do that, if he then being not able to do that thing which is least, why take ye thought for the rest? If I can't do that, why am I going to worry about other things? Why am I going back to the verse about the body and the raiment and food, are we going to worry about what I'm going to wear? What I'm going to eat? What about what we're going to wear for eternity? What about what we're going to eat for eternity? That is provided. God has an abundance of spiritual food within his word. And I believe that there are verses that would, and we're going to get to them, if we seek first the kingdom of God, these things will be added unto us. Verse 26, I already read that. Verse 27, consider the lilies, how they grow. They toil not, they spin not. And yet I say unto you that Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. When I think of Solomon, I think of the wisest man that ever lived. I think of the wealthiest man that ever lived. When you read of him building the temple and all the gold and everything that went into that temple that was given to Solomon to do that in all his glory and his grandest splendor, he doesn't even come close, I don't believe, to the lilies of the field, the flowers, the beauty that God creates in the nature around us. Verse 28, if then God so clothed the grass which is today in the field, and tomorrow is cast into the oven, how much more will he clothe you, O ye of little faith? Something that is going to be gone in a short time, he clothes with beauty. What about you and I that have a soul that's going to live for eternity? What has he done for us? He has given us the best. He has given us Jesus Christ. He has given us hope. He has given us assurance. He has given us salvation to be able to live for eternity. What am I seeking? Am I seeking treasures on earth, or am I seeking to lay up treasures in heaven? Verse 29, and seek not ye what ye shall eat or what ye shall drink, neither be ye of doubtful mind. Verse 30, for all these things do the nations of the world seek after. The nations of the world are seeking after these things. They're seeking after fulfillment. In our Sunday school lesson this morning, they're seeking after joy. They're seeking to fill that void within their lives, and they are going to buy and buy and buy and be in debt and find something new, and they're never going to find it. They're never going to find it in the things that they can possess. What is going to fill that void is laying up treasures in heaven. Jesus Christ is the only thing, the only one that can fill that void. What the world is seeking does not satisfy. Does not satisfy. That verse goes on to say, and your Father knoweth that ye have need of these things. God knows what we need before we ask. He knows, and he will provide for us. Verse 32, fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom of heaven, or to give you the kingdom. A little flock. He wants to give the kingdom to his flock. He wants to give his kingdom to those that are following after him, to those that are seeking him. Matthew 7:7-8 talks about seek ye first the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added unto you. He wants to give us the kingdom. If we are seeking him, or are we seeking the pleasures of this world? Are we seeking large bank accounts? Are we seeking possessions? Verse 33 and 34, sell that ye have and give alms. Provide yourselves bags which wax not old, a treasure in the heavens that faileth not, where no thief approacheth, neither moth corrupteth. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Matthew 6:19-21 is the parallel to that. It's worded a little bit different, so I'm going to read that as well. Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. For where your treasure is, that there will your heart be also. And I am in no way saying we should not work to provide for our families. I already mentioned that work, hard work is good. Providing is good. There are verses that allude to that. Proverbs 6:6, talks about the ant. Go to the ant, thou sluggard. Consider her ways and be wise. And we've all seen an ant work. My wife just seen an ant working this week. A dead spider, and a little ant came along, was trying to drag that spider away, and he eventually lost it. It fell down in a crack, and that spider went, or that ant just went crazy, scurrying around, thought he lost his treasure. What about you and I? Are we like the ants? Are we working hard to provide? I believe that's what that ant was doing. Verses 7 to 11 there in Proverbs 6, which having no guide or overseer or ruler, provideth her meat in the summer and gathereth her food in the harvest. How long wilt thou sleep, O sluggard? When wilt thou arise out of thy sleep? Yet a little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to sleep. So shall thy poverty come as one that travaileth, and thy want as an armed man. It's telling us we need to work. We need to provide. We need to work to provide for our families. 1 Timothy 5:8 is pretty strong words in this verse. But if any provide not for his own, and especially for those of the house of his own house, he hath denied the faith and is worse than an infidel. I believe we all know what an infidel is. Worse than an infidel. If we don't work and provide for our families, we deny the faith and are worse than an infidel. Laziness, there is no room for laziness, to be a sluggard. As I sat and studied and thought, examined myself and my own life, there's been times where my focus has been wrong. There are times where I thought, oh, well, if I could make a little more money, we would have a little bit extra maybe. And a bill came along and it was gone. And then as I sat and I thought about laying up treasures in heaven, and I asked my family, what am I portraying as I go through life? What do they see as a focus that I have? This past fall, I bought a pickup truck, and I seen some interest in some of the children into this, and it sort of made me wonder if I was putting too much focus on it. But I bought a pickup truck that needed a bunch of work, and I planned a long time, talked about it a lot, ended up spending a lot of time working on it. And I asked if I didn't actually ask this, but I felt that they were maybe viewing that as a treasure of mine. That pickup is not a treasure of mine. It's a vehicle to be used to do work. I was trying to be careful how I spent my money, trying to do a good job so I would have a good product in the end. And I want to be transparent. My relationship with God, with my Lord, is number one in my life. I do not want to be laying up treasures on earth that are going to go away, that are not going to last for eternity. My wife and my family are extremely important and of extreme value to me, of utmost importance. And my desire to lead them in a close relationship with God. And I failed many times. You as a church body, this church body is important to me. Investing our time in our families, investing our time in our church, in our spouses, is laying up treasures in heaven. When we work to lay up treasures in the bank, we are laying up treasures on earth that are going to go away. By giving ourselves to others, maybe I don't have money to just give money. Do you realize that spending time with someone, helping someone, listening to them is more valuable than giving them money? And it's laying up treasures in heaven. I want to encourage each of us to build those relationships by investing in one another, building up or laying up those treasures in heaven, and not worrying so much about the financial aspect of life. Because I realize that's important, but it's not as important as giving to one another, giving to God. Matthew 25, verse 40, again, words of Jesus. And the king shall answer and say unto them, Verily I say unto you, inasmuch as ye have done it unto one of the least of these, my brethren, ye have done it unto me. When we invest in others, we are investing in Jesus. We are, again, we are building up treasures or laying up treasures in heaven. Ephesians 3:8, I got a couple. I'll just give you the references. You can write these down and look them up yourselves. Ephesians 3:8, 1 Peter 1, verse 4, Proverbs 22:4. All are talking about riches on earth. They're talking about spiritual riches, the riches of God that He has given to us in His Word that we need to avail ourselves to. And take. One of the things that really provoked my thinking in this, Marlon and I were talking one day at work, and I don't remember the exact numbers. I believe if the average income in America was $66,000 a year, and that sounds low, that is more than most people earn in their lifetime in the world. We are in this society, we are in the top 2 or 3% in the world for being wealthy. Matthew 19, 16 to 30 talks about the rich young ruler that came to Jesus and asked what he needed to do to be saved. And I got the wrong chapter there. Matthew 19. He told him to sell all that he had and follow him. Give to the poor and follow me. Verse 23. Jesus was talking to his disciples right after he told that rich young ruler that young man, Verily I say unto you that a rich man shall hardly enter into the kingdom of heaven. And again I say unto you, it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God. Why is that? It's because our focus is on the wrong thing. Our focus isn't on Jesus Christ. Our focus is on our possessions and what we have here. And it draws us away from Him. We need to make sure our focus is not on the temporal, not on our finances, not on the things that we can obtain. 1 Timothy 6, verses 9 and 10. But they that will be rich fall into temptation and a snare and into many foolish and hurtful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition. For the love of money is the root of all evil, which while some covet after, they have erred from the faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. Those are some challenging words, because I think we each have within us a desire to have finances abundant, to be able to provide and have ease of life. But yet, these are warnings If we are rich, and in world standards we are rich, where is your focus? Where is my focus? Let us not pierce ourselves through. So in closing, questions I ask myself, and I want to ask you, and you answer them. Where is your treasure? What are your goals? Because where your treasure is, there will your heart be also.
We have been admonished and challenged this morning. One thing that stood out to me was the idea of having the eternal view or a long view. And many times our society looks at that as retirement, having the long view, putting some away now for later. And that's a good principle. But if we look further beyond that, I was thinking of examples in Scripture where someone was more focused on a short view than long view. And there's multiple, but I had to think of Jacob and Esau there, as Esau comes in from hunting and he's famished, he's hungry. He didn't kill nothing. And Jacob's making this pot of soup or porridge there, and he's like, man, I just have to have some of that. I'm going to die. And Jacob sees an opportunity here to take advantage. What will you give up for this short-term fulfillment? And if we think about what Esau gave up in his birthright, for a pot of soup, what are we sacrificing for the now and the present in view of eternity? Something to think about. Those who are able, let's kneel for prayer.